Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Today's episode is brought to you by Romer Skincare. Right out of Chicago, Romer launched a work-from-home clean skincare line that covers all your skincare needs with three easy steps to follow. Here's why you should check them out. Simple ingredients and effective results. It's a perfect upgrade if you're still washing face with that bar of soap or that drugstore face wash. Right now, Romer Skincare is offering our Weebcast listeners 15% off and a gift with your first purchase by using the code LISTENER15. That's code LISTENER15 on their website, romerskincare.com. Impress your partner and get happy skin. Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast. Yes. You've made it another week. I know it's been long, but look, you don't have to wait week to week to week for your favorite Weebcast episodes. You can get these episodes on Friday, 2 days earlier, and a ton of other extra shows exclusively on Patreon. All you gotta do is patreon.com/weebcastshow, and you can check out. I'm gonna be bringing a total of 4 shows a week, including the weekly Friday show that you can get early on there on the Patreon. So that's gonna be five whole shows. And right now we're all kind of building it right now. I'm working with somebody right now trying to build up some ideas. And so far, one of the 4 shows have already started premiering on Patreon, and that's called "Is It Worth Watching?" I don't want to go too much into it, because if you do, you can check out all, I'll let you know where you can find it. You can find it on my Patreon, patreon.com/weebcastshow. It's on my Twitter in the bio. Check it out. But that's one of the 4 shows that's going to be coming on every single week. And there's 3 other shows that I cannot wait. I got Anime Slanderer. I got Clap Character Review. And then I got the fan-centric episode, which, name pending. I don't have a name. If you guys got a name, let me know. But the 4th show is going to be where I take questions from Instagram, Twitter, about all things anime and manga. And I spend about a half an hour, maybe a little bit less than that, just answering them. Just funny, entertaining, relaxed, laid back kind of show. Well, in the first few episodes, I'll be taking questions and answers, questions from, like I said, Twitter and Instagram. And then when we start building an app, I'm only going to be taking them exclusively from my patrons and all that good and stuff, or do like a mix. So like I said, one show's already running. Is it worth watching? Right now, there's already 2 episodes already up there for my all-access weebs and the VIP weebs. So we got 1 show. I already got 1 show running. The 3 other shows are going to be coming up sometime in the future. I mean, guess what? You know, I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to save that for a Patreon exclusive episode, because I don't want to reveal that too much information here. Not on a regular episode of Weebcast, but look, still a great show, because there was something that hit me, something that happened, last Saturday, almost a week ago. You've probably seen it on Twitter, you've seen it on Tumblr, you've probably seen it on Instagram. Yes, if you can tell by the title, Eden's Zero. Yes, more information has come out about Eden Zero, and I want to dig all into that and kind of get you guys caught up a little bit about Eden Zero, because there was one thing that I saw was pretty interesting. There was a lot of people on my Twitter that did not know too much about Eden Zero. They were asking, oh, is that Happy? Why is Happy there? Why does she kind of look like Lucy? What the hell? Are they related? I'm going to get it on to that and a lot more into this episode. I'm going to talk about Eden Zero, the new news that came out last Saturday, and all that good and juicy stuff. But before we get into that, like I said, make sure you guys hit up me, your lovely host, the host of Weebcast, the number one anime and manga show on the internet, Weebcast. Hit me up on Twitter at BaseSenpai if you want to get all my weeb thoughts and ideas and all that good and juicy stuff. And also hit the show up on Instagram. Here at Instagram at WeebcastTV. It's a great place to get it. If you like Instagram, I can hit it up anywhere you guys want. That's what we do here. We like to versatile. That's what the word. We like to be versatile. But let me not waste any more of guys' time. Let me go right into it. Fairy Tail director Shinji Ishihara returns as chief director for the new anime, a TGS 2020 livestream. For Hiro Mashima's Eden Zero manga franchise revealed the main staff and April 2021 premiere on this last Saturday for the television anime adaptation of the manga. And this anime is going to air on NTV and all of its affiliates. Like I said, Shinji Ishihara is coming back. He was the anime director for Fairy Tail and Log Horizon, which was one of my favorite game-centric animes, you know, like the Sword Art Online and all that stuff. Log Horizon is an incredible show, underrated, needs to be talked about more, and not a lot of people talk about it. But talk to anybody who's actually seen Log Horizon, they'll let you know that they probably prefer it over Sword Art Online, at least the mainline Sword Art Online series. And Shinji Ishihara is going to be working with his staff at JC staff. And JC staff, they've been around the block. They've been around, and they've done a number. You probably have seen a JC staff produced anime. There's no doubt. They've done things from the likes of A Cell World, Arc the Land, Anima Yell, Bakuman, all three seasons, Basculus, Bleach. They did an episode of Bleach. I think it was episode 319. Blood Sea, Bungo Stray Dogs, Busco Rankin. They did the 3D stuff for Bungo Stray Dogs. Case Closed, In Between Animations, Card Fight Vanguard. They did some of the background works for there. A Certain Magical Index, A Certain Magical Scientific Accelerator. They did backgrounds, photography, production. Cowboy Bebop, they did in-between animations for Cowboy Bebop, also for Darker Than Black, not only the first season but also the Gemini of the Meteor as well. Doro Hedoro, they did key animations for one or two episodes in that. They are a competent staff team, and who have done brilliant things in very big and small animes. They pretty much tighten up things. Look, you know, they make the things that we take for granted for in a lot of our favorite animes. They do great. Like I said, the in-between animations, transitionings, backgrounds, and key animations just for last episodes, in-between episodes, season finales, and things of that nature. This is great. I think this is all good news, and it gets a little bit better because also we have Yushi Suzuki, who's the episode director for Fairy Tail Season 3, is going to help direct the anime. Mitsusakura Hirota, who's done Zoids Wild, Rent a Girlfriend, which I'm going to be talking about Rent a Girlfriend. Trust me, there's going to be a special Rent a Girlfriend episode, especially on Patreon, but yeah. have you guys seen that show? Is it not one of the greatest shows of this year? I can't wait till we get to the end of 2020 where I do my top 20 animes of 2020, because Rent-A-Girlfriend is a strong contender to be in that top 5, to be honest. It's so good. And if you guys haven't seen it, you guys have got some time. I'm checking to watch. You guys have time to watch. You guys better watch Rent-A-Girlfriend. But we have, Mitsusakura Hirota is going to oversee and write the series scripts. And then Yutaka Sako, who's done key animation for Food World, Third Plate, will design the characters for animation. But the live stream also revealed some awesome, exciting more information. The character designs and the cast for Shiki, Rebecca, and Happy are our trio, and the main trio for the manga series and the upcoming anime series. They will have Takuma Terashima will be the voice for Shiki Granbell, and pretty sure he's on Twitter too. He's at Axel1 on Twitter, I believe. I always forget. I don't know. Don't tell me why I know that. It's just random information in my head. But he's been. I'm trying to think of some of the things he's played as. Baby Steps as Kojiro Kageyama. Baka and Test as Kubo. He's been in Beyblade The Burst series as Cisco. I think he was also in Metal Fury as well, but I'm not quite sure what character he's played at. He's been in the Code Geass OVAs as Ashley. Durarara as a random yellow scarf. Fukuyama and Dorohedoro. He's even Glimpnir, which is a show that I'm watching again. And God, I forgot how crazy and how I love that show. But he was in Glimpnir as Yota Murakami. Log Horizon as Shiro. I mean, I think this is the main character in Log Horizon. How could I almost forgot about that? Utano Prince-sama as Otoyo Itoki, which is another popular character. He's, like I said, he's done things. He's done some shows you probably have watched, like Log Horizon, K-On!, Hyoka Himawari, High School Girl, the OVA, and both seasons. I think for my Haikyuu fanatics out there, he was in Haikyuu the third season as Ita Semi, which I did not know when I saw that. I was kind of surprised. Oh, that's right. That's what I forgot to tell you guys. He played as Jackal in Fairy Tail in season two. Fairy Tail 2, I think back in 2014, he played Jackal. So he's been involved. So he knows probably a little bit about Eden Zero and being a part of the Fairy Tail cast back then. But moving off to Rebecca, we have Mikako Komatsu playing Rebecca Blue Garden. And I have a few of her roles as well. I know I have them somewhere here. Take a sip of water as I try to find it here. Yeah, that's right. He actually played Yuno's random. It's not a really big role, but he played as young Yuno and Black Clover in a special episode as well. She's played the characters in Case Closed. Detective Conan, Fairy Gone, Food Wars, Gangster, Gundam Build Fighters, Joker Game, K, and the two King, Return of the Kings, and K, The Missing King, the movie, Miss Barmaid, Nisekoi, Overlord as Lispringa Beta, Pokemon Mega Evolution Specials 1 through 4 is Mamon, I believe. Squid Girl, Soul Eater Nod as Eternal Feather, Ushio no Torta, both seasons as Asako Nakamura. Yugia Zexal is where I think I knew her. My first show with her as a voice as Kotode Misuki. And also Zoids Wild as well as Pennant. So she's done work. She's probably worked or come across Shiki's VA, Takuma Terashima, at some point in time, which is really which is going to be important for chemistry and delivering lines and all that good stuff. So we're going to be getting. I think we're looking pretty competent on that end. And then we have Rui Kumbimiya playing as Happy. I do not know off the top of my head if she's played Happy before, or is this a new voice actor? Because I did not recognize the name when I was doing research for this. Yeah, okay. You know what? She did play Happy. She's been Happy's voice actor for a very long time, since the beginning. That's awesome. So we're gonna be getting. So right now the trio is looking immaculate right now. Immaculate. Those three are gonna. I think we're gonna get an excellent side on this anime with just voice acting alone. Oh yeah. This is gonna be incredible. But let me keep moving, because I don't know. Let me keep you waiting for too long. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, so we have those three voice actors right there. And I think the manga is actually also inspiring a 3D RPG game on consoles. I'm not sure when that was. I didn't get a date on that, but and a top-down RPG game for mobile devices. And I think Konami is developing both of those games. But I didn't want to just also present you the staff reveals, some of the visuals, which you guys need to see the visuals. I'll post them. Or if you haven't seen them, I'll probably post them on Twitter as when this episode drops for the public on Friday. Of Shinki, Rebecca, and Happy. I mean, I don't know if you really need to see the visual on Happy, but I mean, it's Happy. It's a blue cat. It's my favorite blue cat. But I really do dig Shiki's design. Then again, I really like Natsu's and I like Haru. So, and I've never really hated a lot of Mashima's designs, to be honest. I think all of them are really good. And obviously, you know, people do this all the time where they take little inspirations from their previous works and kind of inspire them in their new works. So I'm not saying Shiki's design is revolutionary, different, drastically unique, but it'll serve the purpose. But it's very simple, and very, you know, very clean looking. And also with Rebecca Blue Garden, I think her design is a little weak on the end. I think it looks a little too much of a mix with Ellie and Lucy. Ellie coming from Rave Master, and Lucy obviously from Fairy Tail. But I think Rebecca's is just a little too much on that Lucy side. And at least with Shiki, we kind of get a little bit more. We kind of get the jacket, the kind of the twin tail ribbons kind of coming out from the back of his neck. The black boots, at least the black hair. But you know, Ellie had the light blonde hair, Lucy with the blonde hair, and Rebecca Blue got him back with a different, with some blonde hair as well. I will say it's parted different, at least it's styled a little bit different. But it's not much, it's not too different, or at least not different enough for me, for my liking, to like it too much. But I not only wanted to bring you just talk about the visuals, the upcoming date that we're going to get this anime is spring of 2021 in April. The staff, the voice actors and all that cool stuff. I just want to talk a little bit more about Eden Zero. Just like I said, because I saw people on Twitter questioning about this series because they saw the visuals for the first time. They were asking questions. I was actually trying to respond to some of them, trying to tell them what I knew at the time last Saturday. And so that's what kind of gave me, like, you know what, I should spend a little time and just talking just briefly about Eden Zero. Like I said, we got the release date. We're going to be getting in somewhere in April of 2021. I remember the day, I think I remember in June 12th, it was when Hiro Mashima took to Twitter and revealed the news that the official anime's Twitter, or the refill that Eden Zero's new Twitter account, and that it was going to be animated. And before then, like, they had, the showmakers had really kept a tight lid on the cast and the staff at the time back in this past summer. And we, like I said, and they took slowly over the course of those months to kind of reveal some more of that. But this manga has many, many original fans. Obviously it has some carryover from Fairy Tail, obviously. You can't avoid that. But it has developed a pretty original fan base. For the sole fact that its genre is much, much different than Fairy Tales and Rave Masters genres and what they kind of explored. Because with Eden Zero is a little mix of sci-fi and mystery. Two things that I didn't think that Hiro Mashima had in his back pocket, but he decided to play them for Eden Zero, and I'm not mad at him. But the popularity, has been rising. It's been quiet though. It's quiet, but it has been rising ever since Mashima revealed his new manga series back in 2018. Eden Zero has been given 11 published Or is it 11 or 12? I know it's one of the two right now. I think the 12th one's be coming out next month, I believe. But Even Zeros has had already 11 or 12 Takemon volumes since by the time of August of 2020. The manga has already sold over 100,000 copies in print and was translated into English, French, Chinese, Korean, Thai, and Brazilian Portuguese. Kodansha USA has also released chapters of the series on digital platforms such as Crunchyroll Manga, Amazon Kindle, and Comixology. Like I said, there's no doubt that this series has some popularity, and a popularity that will get stronger, especially by the time when this anime starts to roll around. But is it good? I'll let you guys know. This series is a pleasant surprise to the fans who are a bit miffed with how Fairy Tail ended. But Eden Zero kind of embraces the hallmarks of a typical hero's quest. Shiki, the main lead, hitchhikes a spaceship away from the only place he has known as home to explore the world. The lukewarm start is just really the beginning, but it's well paced in its initial outing and pays off with some multiple twists revealed at the end of the chapters. But we're with Rebecca, who was initially introduced as a character to introduce the hero to the world, adds a little more depth to the universe of Eden Zero. And then we have Happy the Cat, lovable blue cat, adds the comedy relief throughout the series. Comedy is pretty sparse in this manga, I will have to say, and it could do with some more humorous commentary, but I could tell he's really trying to set this one apart from Rave Master and Fairy Tail. But after Fairy Tail ended, many manga fans were let down, but it couldn't be helped, as Mashima had been on a tight deadline to complete the series once and for all at the time. But Eden Zero, in comparison, has a well-structured plot in place. He doesn't have, I believe, there's not a lot of pressure on his back. I think, honestly, because it hasn't been hitting the amount of critical and fan-wide acclaim like Rave Master and especially Fairy Tail. So I think he gives him time to actually plot out probably a plot to his liking and kind of develop things in his own unique way. All the events have been carefully planned to some of the tiniest detail, which I don't think people give Hero credit for. You really can't blame them, because Fairy Tail didn't really do that all too often. It was very seldom when he would have things, little details like that, be planned out like that. And it was almost akin to Oda. Like I said, Eden Zero they pay dangerously close to attention to detail. And it's also, like I said, also set it further apart. It's also just a little bit darker, just a little heavier themed than his other two, his previous works. And this is kind of like I said, I love sports and I love manga. Sports, anime, manga. I love sports just as much as I love anime and manga. And so I do a lot of those comparisons. So I'm sorry for those guys who hate sports. But here on Mashima, it's kind of like, you know what? If you guys know Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets, wing guard for the Miami Heat right now, always known as the guy who was good, talented, didn't know he could work well with others, didn't know if he was a good leader, didn't know if he could pull a team to get to get far into the playoffs. Hiro Mashima was known as just, hey man, he just draws sexy women with a very thin plot and blah 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 friendship. Wins all right, but with Eden Zero and like Jimmy Butler, you put the right pieces around Jimmy Butler. You give Hiro Mashima some time, give him the tools to work with not a lot of pressure on his back. This man could do some work, because this manga really accentuates that Hiro Mashima is actually a very good writer, not just a simple good writer, but I think he's a very good one. And he's just improving one panel at a time, which is crazy. I think we don't give a lot of artists and a lot of writers just credit that. That's just not a static piece. That whenever their next work, or if they write for something else, draw for something, that they have the ability to improve. And I think here on Mashima, we're actually seeing him improve on the Eden Zero's manga. But with all this talk about Fairy Tail with Eden Zero, do they have any link with each other? Well, there is no real interconnection between the two series. Three of Mashima's works have shared universes before. And some elements of Rave Master and Fairy Tail can be found in Eden Zero. And the world in the series is reminiscent of fairy tale in terms of the characters, obviously, but it's in a completely different sci-fi fantasy. There is zero relation outside of this, but the plot is, well, Shiki is a human ether gear who lives among robots on a planet called Granbell, a deserted theme park world in the Sakura Cosmos, which I always like that name. One day, the planet is visited by two space-traveling B-cubers, kind of like YouTubers, Rebecca and her cat companion, Happy. Humans haven't visited Granbell in over a century, and Shiki befriends them while making videos for the Anoneko channel. Shiki learns that he's been living on a separate planet from the rest of the universe. Together, they set out to learn the secrets of the galaxy and the cosmos. Shiki soon finds that making friends may be a lot harder than, and even more important. I already talked about some of the visuals and some of the promo they were talked about. Like I said, the key visual figures: Shiki, Rebecca, Happy, Justice, Ziggy the cat, Happy. And I can't wait till we get some cool, you know, preview videos. I don't know if we'll get any at the end of this year. Like I said, we just got the news from last Saturday with those visuals. I don't know where we'll actually get any preview videos. We might not get that until going into 2021, like at January or February, something like that. Something to end off the winter anime season. There's no word. Like I said, I already talked about some of the staff. Just for some speculation, since Eden Zero is a sci-fi fantasy anime with the focus on teamwork and plot suspense, many fans that feel that the theme song similar to Snow Fairy would be kind of apt for the anime. But in contrast, any good hype song with an emotional voice would contrast pretty greatly with the show and increase the fans' interest. But there's been a lot of fan expectations. I was just thinking on Twitter, there's a lot of people saying, you know what, look, hey, I'm part of the Eden Zero's fandom. But we got the studio here, we got the people who's going to be working on it. I'm sure fans are even super excited to know that JC staff is going to be animating the series. And I think they're happy that they have a competent staff that's going to work with them to put this interesting, low-key, low-flying manga and give it a solid adaptation. I remember a lot of people were thinking that A1 Pictures was just going to be the best bet since they've done Fairy Tail before. But the only reason why, I'm not sure if I ever said it on one of the shows before, but I thought, you know, since they were focusing their attention on other shows at the time, like Warlords of Sigdifria, Hypnosis Mike, I was thinking like they're already kind of doing a lot of things on their plate, and a lot of these studios take just a few episodes per anime season. I didn't think that since this was going to be an April 2021 show, and usually these studios kind of plan way, way ahead, so I didn't think A1 was going to be in the running for this one. But, you know, others worry that with so much pressure on this new series, if it turned out just the tiniest bit average, you know, haters would bash it on the internet for months to come. But according to some, and according to me, it's just better to go in blind. Just keep your expectations a little tempered and just enjoy the show's mysteries. That's all I gotta say about Eden Zero. I'm just super excited. And I just really wanted to start the show just with that because, look, I think it's gonna be great. And I hope you guys watch it. And I'm definitely gonna review it at some point. I'm definitely gonna review that first season because I think people are gonna dig it. But that's enough with Eden Zero, because on the other half of the show, I have three chapters from Weekly Shonen Jump that I'm going to present to you guys and review on the other half after some ads and a little bit of music. And trust me, look, I've done a lot of Chainsaw Man. I'll bring some other stuff. I'll be bringing something a little bit different this week. Stick around, get a snack, get a water, and I'll catch you on the other side in just a few seconds, y'all. What's up, and welcome back. You reached the second half of Weebcast, the number one anime show on the internet. And get ready for some more sweet, juicy, succulent manga discussion coming at you in a few seconds. Hope you enjoyed the first half where I talked about Eden Zero and just giving my thoughts just in relation with Hiromashima, where I think how his talent is really shining on Eden Zero, the upcoming anime, gave a little bit of thoughts about my manga, really kind of kept it really concise. But don't worry, in the future I will be talking about more Eden Zero as we get closer and closer to the launch of the anime next year. Don't worry, I'll probably be talking a little bit about, I'll probably do like a manga catch up, talk about my favorite things, give a nice little review overview of the manga as we head closer to the release date of the anime. But for right now, if you haven't already, make sure, if you love what you've been hearing, not only in this episode but in the podcast show in general, make sure you support the podcast officially on Patreon at patreon.com/weebcastshow and follow me on Twitter at BaseSenpai and on Instagram at WeebcastTV. But now we reach the moment for the weekly manga corner. Yes, indeed. Yes, it's the weekly manga corner and it's back, baby. I love it. Each and every week, I'll come at you with like 3 chapters of what's worth your time and what's not worth your time in the latest weekly Shonen Jump magazine. Look, it's the ending of a week and it can only mean one thing. It's time for the new weekly manga corner with your boy Chris. Shueisha's legendary manga magazine has been releasing every week for over 50 years at this point, and it still has enough exciting series in its roster to justify its hallowed status. Plus, with Viz Media now publishing the entire thing in English, there's never really been a better time to jump right in. And in this episode, I will investigate the latest and the greatest in the world of Weekly Shonen Jump, telling you what's worth your time and what's not. This week, I have you. Mission, Yozakura Family, Chapter 52, Dr. Stone, Chapter 167, Chainsaw Man, Chapter 86. Excuse me. But Demon Slayer, before I get into the three chapters, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba fans, you can finally do a spin, do a jump, rejoice, do your little happy dance, because that Rengoku prequel manga that I talked about, I don't know if I talked about it last week or a few weeks ago, will be coming to the main weekly Shonen Jump magazine, and likewise, probably the Shonen Jump and Manga Plus. And if you thought that series was done for now, now that the manga has ended, think again. But in other news, One Piece seems to have a tough time lately with an apparent 2-week hiatus, seemingly putting the brakes on Eiichiro Oda's plans to reach chapter 1,000 by the end of the year. Shame, right? But at least we have this week's manga to keep us company, so let's get right into it with Mission Yozakura Family Chapter 52. And to be honest, the fact that I'm talking about Chapter 52 of Mission Yozakura Family right now is probably a little bit unexpected, because when the series first launched, I wasn't really sure that it was able to stick around for the long term, but I appear to have been proven wrong. So not only has Hitsui Gundata Spy Series recently celebrated its first anniversary in Weekly Shonen Jump, it is also selling surprisingly well, seemingly finding an audience among young readers. But in light of this, you know, I've been searching for a reason for a while to spotlight a chapter of Yozakura for a few weeks now. True, I did speak about Chapter 51 last week, but that wasn't in much detail. Mission Yozakura Family Chapter 52, however, provides this opportunity to focus on it a little bit more, on what makes this series so compelling, and that is family. Immediately upon reading Chapter 52, my eyes were drawn to the bottom left corner, Yozakura Hot Spring Story Part 1. It read, in my emphasis, at first glance, it would appear that all appear to address all the problems that I've had with the series, and more, an over-reliance on introducing new characters, as well as an episodic mission format. But it's almost as if Hitsui Gondara listens to the podcast, but, you know, as if. In any case, Mission Yozakura Family Chapter 52 is indeed the first part of a multi-chapter story that sees the entire family, minus Kyochiro, head out on a family vacation. And just as I thought, it works incredibly well. And not only do we get to spend some wholesome family time with the Yozakuras, we also get enough time to take in the concept and the setting. Particularly effective in this double spread, as the cover image of this of the chapter, which kind of shows the family coming face to face with their own notoriety. And of course, the story takes on special meaning in its current circumstances, as many of us really can't go on vacation due to the virus. But for me personally, I have many fond memories of traveling with family and friends. So the Mission Yozakura Family Chapter 52 kind of makes me a little bit nostalgic for those days. And even though I'm confident they'll return soon enough, but in Mission Yozakura Family Chapter 2, isn't all wholesome family fun, however, because it closes out on a raunchy suggestion from Mitsumi that she and Tayo, quote-unquote, take a bath together. And going directly against Kyochiro's warning before he went off on his mission, clearly this has something to do with the hint that Futaba dropped earlier, saying, are you going to tell Tayo about that? But we'll just have to wait and see what kind of happens with that. But for now, Mission Yozakura Family Chapter 2 hits upon all the series' biggest strength: wholesome family bonding and interesting core romance and spy-themed shenanigans. Not only covered here is the fact that the entire hotel where the family is staying at is stuffed full of spy-themed eccentricities, such as the Inferno Sauna. I'm pretty sure I left off last week on the Weekly Manga Corner by expressing my hopes that this manga would continue to learn the lessons of previous arcs and embrace what really makes it compelling. For all intents and purposes, Chapter 52 seems to have done just that, and whether or not this will continue in the long term kind of remains to be seen here. But one of the beautiful things about serialized storytelling is that things can change at any given time. So I still hold out hope for Mission Yozakura Family can get much, much better. Now, Dr. Stone, Chapter 167. Dr. Stone, on the other hand, is one series that needs no improvement and needs no introduction. Even though I kind of did give it one, I guess. But it has already long since been one of my favorite series in Weekly Shonen Jump and has been going from strength to strength to strength as of late with the newest arc. Dr. Stone, Chapter 167, is no exception here. Even though it is seemingly the conclusion of a long-running battle, it is also the perfect encapsulation of what makes this series so damn great, sending shivers down my spine in the process. Last time we checked with Dr. Stone, Chrome was digging a massive tunnel to Dr. Zeno's hideout in order to take the nefarious villain by surprise. And in Dr. Stone, Chapter 167, he finally succeeds. We see him bursting out of underground with Tsukasa and Kohaku in tow. But unfortunately, some of the details of the subsequent castle takeover are lost as a result of the paneling. And Boichi has long since preferred the long vertical shots and the visual style over the straightforward imagery. Which comes back to haunt him every now and again. Particularly what follows the panel that I'm talking about. It's kind of hard. It's somewhat hard to parse. The arc gets smaller and smaller, and the actual mechanics of how the Kingdom of Science managed to capture Zeno is kind of lost in translation here. Still, I'd prefer a little experimentation over the same old, but the scene between Chrome and Zeno in the collapsed tunnel is where Dr. Stone Chapter 167 really shines, because in typical villain fashion, Zeno makes an appeal to Chrome's scientific nature to join him, saying, "Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son." But Chrome refuses, and saying that there are different strokes for different folks. And this is it. I mean, this is the type of positivic scientific optimism that really makes me like Dr. Stone so much. And it actually sent some shivers down my spine. There's not many manga that can really do that for me, but Dr. Stone manages to do it on a almost regular basis, it seems like, especially recently. And moving on to Zeno's pessimistic view of the rest of humanity was already pretty obvious, kind of thanks to the reveal of his backstory all the way back in chapter 156, I believe. But in this chapter, Dr. Stone chapter 167, just really hammers home even further, saying that worthless concepts such as ethics, morals, politics held back humanity from truly progressing. And Zeno kind of makes the case for an immoral science freed from the shackles of a kind of a wider society. And the only question is, for whom? There is no such thing as true science in class society. It always benefits one group or another. But in this sense, Zeno is kind of railing against the limits of capitalism here, but probably doesn't really realize it. But heck, Richiro Inigaki probably doesn't even realize it himself. But in contrast, to this stands Chrome, in reality, the mouthpiece for Senku. Senku's philosophy is different, as it takes a longer view, seeing how humanity has developed from nothing, but from simple apes to the types of beings who can send someone into outer space. But armed with the more long-term view, Senku can be much more optimistic that humanity can overcome whatever challenges lay ahead of it, whether it be climate change, mass extinction, restarting civilization from scratch in the stone world. But to be honest, I have a lot more thoughts on this, but we're straying a little too far from Dr. Stone, chapter 167 itself. But suffice to say, this is another brilliant chapter, and look forward to more on the ideological and philosophical conflict between Senku and Zeno in probably a further Dr. Stone episode. And if I do that, I'm gonna have to bring back a guest of mine when we talked about Dr. Stone theories. I might have to do that if we do that, but don't let me forget, guys. Don't let me forget. But let's get onto the third and final chapter of the weekly manga corner. And of course, finally we've come to Chainsaw Man chapter 86. Once again, Tatsuki Fujimoto's series is dominating the proceedings by returning for what is now, I think, the fourth straight week I've talked about Chainsaw Man and the weekly manga corner. And I can't help it. As too many amazing things are happening that deserve to be talked about. Say what you will about last week, but chapter 85 of Chainsaw Man was undoubtedly more experimentation than actual plot development. The great thing about serialized storytelling, be it in a manga magazine or a TV show, is that you can take time to explore the relationships between certain characters on a particular concept. Some of my favorite, episodes of Star Trek even do exactly that. But nevertheless, Chainsaw Man chapter 86 consists much of a more balanced combination of this narrative experimentation and plot progression, revealing some important things along the way. But first, Tatsuki Fujimoto just couldn't help himself in bringing Kobeni back for just one more round of devil-themed harassment. Chainsaw Man chapter 86 opens up with Denji, or is it Pochita, remembering that he wanted to go on a date with a girl so bad, and I put in a quote because I'm pretty sure that was a direct quote there, and deciding that Kobeni would do. So coiling her in an intestine, he takes her to an ice cream truck and then the game center, a date to remember, but not one that Kobeni will do so with any fondness, because perhaps the most important part of Chainsaw Man chapter 86 series, however, is at the very end. Not only does Makima return, exactly as I predicted last week, but no surprises there, so too do some of our favorite dearly departed characters, Katana Man, Quancy Reese. And I'm not gonna lie here. As soon as I recognized Reese specifically in the background, I let out a massive cry of joy and immediately took, and I'm pretty sure I tweeted about it, which you can find on Base Senpai on Twitter. Just to share my thoughts. The Bomb Girl arc is still one of my favorite parts of the series thus far, and I read it far too many times in the Denji X Reeks fan comics in the past few months that to be at least a little invested in their relationship. But so while I doubt they'll actually end up together, it's still good to see the best ship back on screen, or back on paper, back on digital. In any case, speaking of my favorites, my favorite character may or may not be back. Kind of. You know, while it's kind of hard to tell from the looks alone, some of the new characters introduced along Makima's return look very much like alternate versions of Aki and the Angel Devil. My favorite character. One theory I've heard is that the personalities may have been mixed up alongside their designs, and subtle cues such as the way that the angel lookalike wears their jacket certainly do echo the character's lack of arms. Even so, we'll just have to wait and kind of see on that. But the introduction of the new characters, along with Makima's return, suggests that Chainsaw Man may be continuing for a good while yet. Some of the criticism levied at chapter 85 was that it put the brakes on a plot that was quickly losing many of its reasons for progression. But reversing some of the series' character death may put some gas back in this tank. So, plus we all know we knew that this was going to happen eventually at some point, right? But you can read Mission to Zakuta Family, Chapter 52, Dr. Stone, Chapter 167, and Chainsaw Man, Chapter 86 for free on the Viz Media Shonen Jump app. Thank you for tuning in for the weekly manga quarter for this week. No echo on that one. I don't want to play it out so much, right? I want it to be special when I pull it out, I don't want to just have the echo just, come in and come out of nowhere. I want it to be a little bit, special. All right, we'll do it again. I'm not going to do it again. That was the last one. But seriously, thank you for listening to this edition of Weepcast. Hope you enjoyed the Eden Zero discussion. I really hope you enjoyed the weekly manga corner with me talking about Chainsaw Man for the fourth straight week. When I do these weekly manga corners, I try to pick the three best chapters that I think that I can pull out a good topic or a good discussion from. And this last month or so, Chainsaw Man has been one of the greatest works in Shonen Jump right now, currently in its roster. And it's really hard not to pull the latest chapter of Chainsaw Man. So we'll see next week when their new Shonen Jump chapters come out on Monday. And then we'll see what I pull. I'll try to pull off something new. We'll see. But no promises. No promises there. But thank you for listening to this episode of Weepcast. Next week I have. Actually, let me check on the docket. I'm going to check for you what I got. So, like I said, as we move closer to Halloween, I'm going to have the Tokyo Ghoul retrospective episode coming at you. It's all set up. It's all good. I'm really excited for you guys to hear that. But next week, and then the week after, because I think I'm splitting my fall anime 2020 preview into two parts. So next week, you'll get part one of my fall anime 2020 preview. So that's really, really exciting. And I know some of the animes, if you're listening to this right now on a Friday afternoon, but, you can listen to these on early. If you pledge to the Patreon, you can get these episodes ad-free and 2 days early. So make sure you guys do that. But when you're listening to this, the first day or two of fall anime have already premiered. So, I understand that, but still, I still want to do a preview before I get to start watching any of this fall anime and trying to dig deep into what I think is going to be worth watching, what's not. But I won't spend too much time on that here because I'm gonna have to, I'll let you guys head out. But be on the lookout for next week because I'm doing my fall anime preview for the next 2 weeks there. And then after that week, it's probably the Tokyo Ghoul retrospective. And what else I got coming up? One more thing. Doing a special Twitter, Instagram Q&A as well, probably right after the Tokyo Ghoul episode, where I'll probably put up a open-ended question. I'll take questions, answers, all that kind of good stuff on anime. You want your most pressing anime question answered, Weebcast will get it answered for you. It's going to be opinionated. It's going to be off the wall. It's going to be real funny. Really be really entertaining. So give me your best anime question, thought, or whatever, and I will talk about it, answer it, whatever the case may be, in a special kind of Weebcast Q&A kind of thing doing here. But that's all for me here. As I see the time running, I got the production team in my corner of my eye telling me, saying, "Yo, let's wrap it up. Let's come on, Chris. Let's wrap it up, see up." And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Thank you for allowing my voice into your ears and into your homes. This is C-Dub from Weebcast, the number one anime show on the internet. About to hit the race. Hit the dash. I'm Audi 3000. See ya.